situation, and we started playing this guessing game where someone thinks of something and you get 20 guesses. You know, it used to be called animal, vegetable, mineral, but it's a bit hard to explain that to the kids, and even I don't get it. What's the difference? But anyway, we started playing this guessing game, and Ethan came up with a cracking one, which it took us forever to, we couldn't get it. And we were saying, give us a clue. And it was bubble wrap. Where did he got that from? I have no idea. It was bubble wrap. So it caused quite a stir, and all through the week, you know, when you play it again, he'd think of the same one again. You know what kids are like, and we'd play along with it. But today, it's a bit like this. I think you already know what we're talking about, but if I was giving you clues for this one, I could say about this, that it's our friend and it's our enemy. It flies, it's everywhere, but there's never enough of it. We all ask what it is, we all try and save it, and we all try and kill it. Have you got it yet? Yeah. Obviously you have. It's time, because that's what we're talking about today. If you've got your Bible, open your Bible at Matthew chapter 26. And we'll start reading at verse 36. Could have chosen lots of Bible passages, but I just had this one really, and it just came to me as I was thinking about this talk. And I've had this talk together for about 2 or 3 weeks, so some of the things we're going to talk about today, Kevin Pete spoke about last week, and even a few weeks before that, somebody else mentioned. So don't think, oh, Dave's just jumping on the bandwagon. I honestly feel God is saying this is important, because it was already down. This is where Jesus was in Gethsemane. It's a well-known passage of Scripture. Verse 36, Matthew 26, it says, "Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, 'My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me.' Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, 'My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will.' Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. 'Could you men not watch or keep watch with me for 1 hour?' he asked Peter. 'Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak.' He went away a second time and prayed, 'My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away from me unless I drink it, may your will be done.' When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes the betrayer.'" Easy to be critical of the disciples. But that word there, he said, "Couldn't you just watch with me for 1 hour? Couldn't you just stick with me for an hour?" Hits home a little bit. Today, as you've seen, we're starting a new series entitled From Here to Eternity, The Radical Minimum Standards of the Normal Christian Life. Some of you might want to go now. Some of you might want to turn up for the next couple of weeks, because maybe the rubber's going to hit the road a little bit. But I certainly don't want to put anyone off today. And I know it's not Mike's heart to put anyone off. We don't want to put anyone on a guilt trip. So the last thing I want to do is start beating you up and beating myself up today and putting you all on a guilt trip. So please don't switch off. But at the same time, it is important that we challenge each other. And I challenge myself, are we living those lives as Christians today? My aim today is to encourage you and motivate you and motivate myself to live those lives that are the radical minimum standards of the normal Christian life. I don't know if anyone saw the Pope yesterday announcing some new cardinals. Did anyone see it on the telly? Well, he's made some more cardinals. I don't know how many it is. And they all come up and they all get a new hat, whatever they call it, and a gown. And it's all in red. And I don't know, I've never really thought about this before, why it's all in red. And there could be a few reasons for that, the way my mind works. But it's not because they follow Liverpool or anything like that. Does anyone know the reason why they get a red cap? Anyone know? No? I didn't know. But the reason is, it's so they recognise that it's possible that their lives right, could be laid down for the church. And basically, they could be martyrs. And so the red reminds them of the blood, that their blood could be shed because they are leading the church. And I thought to myself, the chance of that happening to you and me is probably quite remote. Although things can change drastically, at the moment it looks quite remote. But for that poor guy who was going back to Nigeria as a cardinal, it's probably a 50-50 chance. Maybe even a little bit more. It was real to him, yeah? His life truly is on the line for his faith. You read it all the time, don't we, about these churches being bombed and whatever. Who knows? Even the Pope himself, they've tried to assassinate him a few times. And I think we need a challenge, guys. Are our lives on the line? Is your life on the line today? Is my life on the line? Am I living to a radical minimum standard, which is the norm of a Christian life? And today we're talking about time and giving that time generously. Time is such a precious thing, and we haven't got very much of it. Just when Ruth was just sharing there about getting together and sharing together, me and Mike have a sort of an accountability relationship, and I can't remember the last time me and Mike actually had some quality time together. Because time has just gone like that. Mike's new job and my job, and we just haven't been able to get a slot in the diary. We need to do it, Mike, don't we? And sometimes we need to do that. We need to be determined, because it's all right saying, oh, I can't make this, I can't make that. But something like Ruth has just shared then, everything else needs to go out of the diary. Make that slot. We need to do it after Mike. Hold me accountable for that. So how are we using our time today? How are we using our time today? You see, basically, we all need a healthy lifestyle, and needs must. We've got to go to work. If we don't work, we don't eat. There's a good biblical principle there. And Jesus worked. Most of Jesus' life, he was working. From a very young age, he'd be working with his dad right through till he was 30. Everyone gets this impression of Jesus that his hands were probably very, very rough because he was dealing with wood and he got his hands dirty, literally. So Jesus worked. We need to work. And Jesus and us need to sleep. Sleep is important. We know that Jesus slept on a number of occasions. So it's important. Sleep is important. You can't do without that either. And also relaxation is important. Jesus needed that. He needed recovery time. He said to his disciples, didn't he? Come ye apart and rest a while. The old Mars advert, work, rest, and play. Yeah? That's what Mars, you have a Mars a day and you work, rest, and play. I don't know how it all goes together, but it does. But you see, it all needs to be in proportion. Those things need to be in proportion. Our work, our sleep, and our relaxation. If any of those are out of balance, then we've got a problem. If we're sleeping all day, you know, it's not good for us. If we're working all day, that's certainly not good for us. If we're just relaxing all day, that's no good either. We need to get them into the balance of our basic life to live a healthy lifestyle. But what motivates the use of our time? What motivates it? For most people in the world, it's just a self-motivation. It's about me, it's about I, it's about mine. It's about me coming first. How does it fit in with what I want? It's all about me. And if there's any time over, then that's okay. I can use that for other things. But basically, how does it fit in with what I want to do? For most people, it's how much money I can earn, how much I can get. So that means work, work, work. It means pleasures, enjoyment. For some, it means idleness, just doing nothing, but it's all about me time. When I work, we have what we call me time. So you can ring up and say, I want some me time. Don't know what it means, but basically you can do it and just get time off work for me. Strange. It's an American idea, I think. But you know, we can become couch potatoes. Yeah? We can become couch potatoes. We can just slop in front of the telly or the internet. How many times you've switched your internet on before you know it, 3 hours have gone because you've been all over the world. Yeah? It's changed. The little box that we had in the corner has now become the little box we have in our hand. And it distracts us, takes us away, it takes so much of our time. Everywhere you go, everyone's on these, got the earphones in or on this. Everywhere you go, isn't it? It's life now. Bubble wrap. Remember, so many of us are just cocooned in this bubble wrap of me, me, and me. And we're just sort of wrapped in it, and it's all about me. But what about us? Are we like that? I hope not. What are the radical minimum standards of the normal Christian life. What are they? Well, here at OCF, if you didn't know already, we've entered into a year of worship. And, you know, we should be worshiping all the time. We should be in a lifetime of worship. I know Mike said it's a special year of worship, but that doesn't mean at the end of next August we suddenly, that's it with worship now, forget it. No more. Forget the band. You know, forget everything. It's over. No. What it is, it's highlighting that worship is important in our lives. So does that mean Sunday morning, that's worship? How about tomorrow when we go into work? For me, I can honestly say work's been a little bit of a struggle. The boss I've got is a young guy, and he's hard work. And I'm finding a bit of a difficulty. And a few weeks ago, I really was finding a difficulty. And I had to come to that point where I was going to work and saying, God, I've just got to go in here and work for you, not for somebody else. Yeah, and I'm not saying I always do it, but I've been trying to do that, to say I'm working for you, Lord, not for this guy or for this company. And it changes a little bit the focus. Yeah. And it might help you, I don't know, that I'm working and serving all my life in my work, my job, for Jesus. And I've found that as I do that, and if I do that, then somehow the burden of pressure and the burden of angst is lifted, yeah? So I don't know if you're struggling in your job. Maybe you don't enjoy your job. I know a lot of people don't enjoy the job. That's why it's called work, yeah? We don't particularly want to do it, but we have to do it. It came in at the fall. I'm not going to go back to that. But we have to do it. It's not one of those things, wowee. Not many of us are going, wowee, I'm going back to work. But if you go with that attitude of, am I worshiping God in this? This time I'm spending in that place, a vast majority of my life, if I go in with that attitude, it changes the way I treat people. It changes the way I speak. It makes an impact on people's lives. Sleep's important as well. I know some struggle with sleep. I don't struggle with sleep, and it's a fantastic blessing. I could sit there now and go to sleep. Wouldn't be an issue. I know Russell can do the same thing. We can just do it. And it's a blessing. It really is a blessing. I'm not knocking it. Because I know some people really struggle with sleep. They go to bed and they can't sleep. They're up for hours, you know, and they're trying all sorts of things. It's hard. But, you know, sleep is important, and God wants to be in your sleep. And if you're struggling in that area, then bring God into it, you know. Expect God to break into that, to give you freedom in that, to be able to sleep. You know, one of the ways I go to sleep is I start praying. And, you know, it happens that I'm praying, and, you know, I'm asleep. Others might read the Bible and you go asleep. I don't know. I'm not just, you know, saying you should do that all the time, but bring God into it. And then, you know, sleep can come. And I know these sometimes can be easy fixes, but it's there. What about our relaxation? So important to bring God into that as well. Wholesome things, enjoying creation, enjoying skills, and everyone's got it. You know, our normal Christian life must have Jesus first in everything we do, work, rest, and play. Jesus must be first, and then everything else. Jesus and his kingdom first, and then the rest. And remember last week, the verse that Kevin quoted, Matthew 6:33. Does everybody know what it says? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto you, yeah? So it's so important. It's so simple. It's so basic. Jesus was talking to his disciples. He was talking to the people. He said, look, this is the way. This is the way we live our lives. The Sermon on the Mount, read those chapters 5 through to the end of 7. This is what we do. This is the way we live. This is the way things happen. Put me first and then everything else. But why do we always get it back to front? But we do, don't we? We get it back to front. Is Jesus first on your calendar? Or do you just fit him in somewhere, you know, on your Google calendar? There might be, oh, there's a little space here. Where does he fit? Is he first? You've got your notice sheet here for OCF and things that God's doing amongst us and through us. that on your calendar? Is that first? Oh, well, I might be able to fit it in at some stage, but it doesn't quite fit in with what I'm doing. Got to be first. Jesus has got to be first in everything we do. You see, he doesn't just want the leftovers. And so often we give him the leftovers. And sometimes there ain't any leftovers, so he doesn't get anything. Next week, Mike's talking about money. You know, you think time's a bit of a... gets a bit of gritty. Wait till you start talking about money. That's even closer to the heart. But you know, so often it's an afterthought. I don't want to steal Mike's sermon. But the principle is exactly the same. God wants to be first in our time, as well as our money, as well as our spiritual gifts we're going to come across next week. So is Jesus first in everything you do? Is he first in everything I do? What about your relationships? This is a key area, especially for you young guys. Maybe not even in a relationship yet, but is Jesus in that relationship? Is he first in that relationship? Before you even get into that relationship, do you say, God, I'm looking for a relationship. Will you bring me to the right person? Don't get into the relationship before you bring God into it. Your leisure, the things you're doing, can God fit into that? Could you take God with you? I remember I used to have a season ticket for Liverpool, and I got lambasted. Somebody really lambasted me because I was going to regularly to watch Liverpool, and quoted Psalm 1 at me. And, you know, if you don't know what that is, go and have a look when you go home. And, you know, I don't know. I felt quite comfortable. I think Jesus could sat on the cop with me, no problem. He might not like the language, but he'd have been happy to be in that crowd, I think. Yeah, I don't know. But you've got to ask yourself, does it fit in with what you think? God, are you in this? Does what I'm doing, is this bringing honour to your name? Are you comfortable with me watching this film? It's a bit late night. Well, you know. Is it wholesome and honest? Is it in line with your word? Does it fit in with what you're saying in your word, Lord? Should I be spending my time doing this? And I might be doing something, but could it wait? Can this wait, Lord? Because your kingdom is coming first, and I can wait for this thing I'm going to do. Because we've all got thousands of things to do. But sometimes God calls us to do something else, and we need to do it. And it's just a phrase here, and it says, do without it if God's not about it. Do without it if God's not about it. Yeah? You're better having not having it if God's not in it, because it'll only lead to disaster. See, God's kingdom's got to be first and foremost. It's got to be at the front, not an afterthought in our lives. See, in this same passage in Matthew, the Lord's Prayer is given. And the Lord's Prayer has God first, yeah? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, then about, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, yeah? Jesus' pattern of prayer was him first, him foremost. And then everything else fits in and comes behind it. So often we go to God in our prayer and we just, gimme, gimme, gimme. We're desperate. It's better just spending some time just giving God praise. And then everything else just fits into line. That's why I like worship CDs, because it just takes you off yourself and onto him. And if you've never done it before, just get into it more. And it's fantastic. Ruth's been sending out these YouTube clips. And once you get onto that, I find myself going onto one and then onto another one, and not the one necessarily Ruth sent. And you go down and you start listening to loads of stuff. And it lifts you. It builds you. I like Gay the Praise. Everyone goes, ooh. Yeah. Sometimes I've got the telly on and Gay the Praise, our kids come in and Chris and oh dear me, just yeah. But I like it, you see. But you might like what you like, I don't know. Sam likes the old hip-hop rock, doesn't he? And, you know, what's his name? I can't think what the rap, that's it. And there's some good stuff there as well. But we're all different, aren't we? If it does you good, and it's about God and it builds you up, go for it. The radical. What does radical mean? It means different. Hey, pay attention. Have you not heard Gay the Praise? You'd love it. Oh, yeah. Speak to me after. The radical. Radical. What does a radical mean? It means different. It means stand out. Are you stand out? Are we stand out in our Christian lives? I stand out at work. I've told you they call me Father Ted. Did you know that?
Father Jack.
Yeah, Father Jack. No, not Jack. Ted. And this one guy, I've told you about Kev before. He's a great guy, but he's got a mouth like, well, you know, terrible. But he said, oh, just bless me. Bless me, will you, Ted, you know. And I know he's jesting and messing about. You know what I mean? Are you making a difference in your workplace? Do you know something's different about you? And it's not about me. Are we stand out or are we just chameleon? Minimum standard. What's the least we can do with our time, with our talents, with our money? The radical minimum standard. You see, God's got standard. Anything doesn't go. And it's a sad indictment of the age we live in where anything goes. Have you noticed? If you say something slightly off skew from the norm, you know, it's weird. And that's getting more and more difficult as we're Christians because we're slightly on a different path. Yeah? The world is on the broad path to destruction. We're on the narrow way to God. And so when we say something, right, that's God's standard, eh? Are you from a different planet? The radical minimum standards. God's got standards of the normal Christian life. A normal. This is normal. It's not out of the ordinary. We're not asking here to do anything super. This is normal. Our normal behavior. You see, I think we've had a wake-up call. This year we've had a wake-up call. Remember Tom bringing that word, awake? Last week, Kevin Pete. Awake. Seek ye first. It's time, guys, for a rethink, for a refocus. Are we giving the minimum? That fits in next week with money, but it fits in with time. Are you just doing the minimum? Just enough? Or are we striving for generous giving? Generous, generous giving. When it hurts, when you could be doing 1,001 other things. We've got this Servolution coming up, this decorating thing. I think we had 3 volunteers last week to do that decorating yesterday. We've all got busy lives, but could you have spent that day doing that? I don't know. Could you spend that day, instead of going Christmas shopping, why not do something for somebody else? There's lots of opportunities of you how you can give more. If you don't know how to give more and you've got time on your hands, come and see me or Mike and we can fill in a loads of stuff that you can do within the community. Loads of things that we can do. We're desperate for street pastors. 4 hours once a month. Doesn't seem a lot to me. Can you do it? Could you man the boiler room? Can you man the boiler room 1 morning a week, 1 afternoon a week, 1 day a week, 1 evening a week? Could you do it? Could you be a debt counsellor? Could you give a couple of hours a week, once a month, to help somebody? I was at this debt counselling course yesterday, staggering. The amount of debt is unbelievable in our country, and it's going like that. The rules on benefits are changing come April, and a lot of people are really going to be in dire trouble. The church needs to be there. Food bank, starting very, very soon. We need volunteers and helpers for that. There's lots of things you can do, and there's other things as well, not just those things, loads of things. I think it's time for some of us to make some changes. Changes in maybe in our attitude. What's really the desire of your heart? What's the desire of your heart? Is God and his kingdom the desire of your heart? Is that really what's affecting you from here to eternity? Eternity matters. Is it worship in everything you do? What about application? What's got to change? Has something got to change? I think God's asking me today, what's got to change? What's that freedom bringing me into? What's it bringing you into? What's got to change? What's got to go? What's got to come? What about the activities you're engaged in? What's got to go from that? Or what can you give? The opportunities are vast. Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful. There's a massive harvest out there. But sadly, the labourers, the hard work, and it's hard work. That's why it's labourers are few. Met a girl yesterday on this course, and they've been moved to Liverpool from the Midlands. There's only a small group of them, but their vision is to make a difference where they are to as many people as they possibly can. That's their vision. I thought, wow, I like that. What about for you? What about for me? Let's just pray. Lord, I just pray for each one of us, Lord, that you will challenge us more about our time, our lifestyle. In a very modern world where life's getting faster and not slower, how can we find that time to put you first, to give you more of our time? Lord, I pray you'd stretch our time, give us more so we can do more. We want to make a difference, Lord, right now in our community, in a hurting world. So I pray today, Lord, that you would help us to seek you first. Have you got that song, Mark? I'm going to play a song. This is quite an old song. It's not a Gay the Praise one. It's called Casual Christian. Some of you might have heard it before, by a group called DeGarmo and Key. Sadly, DeGarmo has passed away now, but it talks about being a casual Christian. I don't want to be a casual Christian. Just listen to the words. It's worth looking it up on YouTube if you want. But I don't want to be a casual Christian. I don't want to be just sloppy. Do you want to be sloppy? I don't. Just listen to the words of this song and just...